This is the examination of the hidden human condition.
You're listening to the Hidden Killers Podcast.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Laurie Retzian joining us today. We're going to talk about the Murdaugh appeal and the opportunity, the likelihood, the possibility, the chance in hell that Murdaugh has in getting an appeal. Laura, thoughts?
He may have a chance in hell.
Literally in hell.
He may actually have a chance.
Okay.
Any defendant may have a chance, depending on what happened at trial, and especially in his, because it was such a notorious case. And, mm-hmm. and basically, the entire trial was character assassination. All they did throughout the trial, and the judge allowed it, and that's going to come up on appeal, is character evidence or evidence of former other the fraud that they're alleging that he committed.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of financial crimes that they covered, right? There was day after day, witness after witness about all these financial crimes. And you know, what that did, and I know it did it, is probably got the jury to hate this guy. They just saw him as a scumbag,
mm-hmm.
and he may have been one, a thief, a lawyer who... who had a fiduciary duty and you know, did the worst he could have done, which is steal from his own clients.
Mm-hmm.
And that probably created a lot of hatred and resentment towards him. And then again, these were people also from an area where he lived. Many of them for years had possibly been in an area where they knew of the family, even if they didn't have personal connections with the family, they probably knew of the family. It's a very well-known family. Mm-hmm. So that's another issue. Maybe change of venue should have happened in this case. So I see at least those two issues. One about the amount of financial crimes that came in. And the number two, the fact that the trial happened where it happened.
Should have
been somewhere else.
How does this appeals process work when they submit it? Did they go and say, here's all the reasons why we believe there should be a dismissal or a mistrial or a retrial by listing out all of those things that you just talked about? Or does it go to a judge to have them go through all those fine things with a fine-tooth comb and say, yeah, these are potential things?
No, the defense team or the appellate lawyers will go through the transcripts mm-hmm. of the case, starting from day one and then through trial, and they will find any errors or mistakes, whether it be by the prosecution, by the judge, any misconduct by the jury, and even potentially any errors by defense counsel. You're looking at everything when you're looking, going through this case in detail. Mm-hmm. And they would have to bring those up in their paperwork, support it with case law, and make the argument that he deserves another trial or a new trial.
How long does a process like this take, especially for something like this very well-publicized case like Alec Murdaugh?
It could go on for years,
yep.
decades, possibly. We've seen that. We've seen it in the Scott Peterson case. That's a case I was involved in.
Sure.
And it's still ongoing.
Yeah.
The case even came back for the possibility of a new trial, denied. Now it goes back and it continues.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a couple of decades.
Sure, sure. With that possibility being out there of him going and possibly getting a new trial, What are some of the things that stood out to you? I know you listed a whole laundry list of things. To you yourself, is there anything that really stands out that you would say, this is the point, this is the big one I'd be pushing if I were trying to get him to have another trial?
One thing that really stands out in this case is how quickly this jury came back.
Mm-hmm.
3 hours on a double homicide case. With a lot, weeks and weeks of testimony, you know it and I know it. They didn't have time to go through all of that evidence. That was a quick verdict. Mm-hmm. And this was a case where there was no forensic evidence, right, connecting him to the scene. There was, or to the crimes. The motive, honestly, I never thought it was a strong motive because these were the people that he loved. They did make the argument that, yes, he was so selfish that he loved himself above all. But no, these were people that he really, truly loved. And these are the people that he would have needed had he been convicted, right, in the future. And the people that would have stood by him, just like he had stood by them and supported them throughout the years. And those are the people who would have been with him, backing him up through thick and thin, even if he was filed on for, if he had a case for financial crimes, or even if he was convicted. I mean, his son and his wife would have been there for him. They were a close-knit family. You could see what his other son was doing. He was very supportive. His brother was supportive. This is a close-knit family. He didn't need to do that. And what did he buy for himself? The motives made zero sense to me. So the jury having come back when there was enough for reasonable doubt, and to have come back so quickly, it really is concerning to me. I haven't seen it on this kind of a case. I've seen even Scott Peterson's case. It mm-hmm. went on for some time.
Yeah.
And to me, that seems problematic. It makes me wonder if these were jurors who'd already made up their minds before they started deliberations and before even possibly the evidence was heard. I don't know. And I'm sure the defense is going to do some digging and some investigation to figure out if there was any misconduct by this jury, if any of them lied when they were questioned during voir dire. There's all sorts of things that can come out, or any statements that they made post-trial that would indicate that there was misconduct.
Let me ask you this, because one of the brothers of Alec Murdaugh has said that he doesn't know that he believes his brother anymore, if he did it or not. What he is saying is that he believes that Alec knows more than he is admitting to. If there were to be some other thing that came out that Alec simply has lied about, did not fess up to, I think the only thing that's coming to my mind theoretically would be something involving someone going to kill the family as an example to Alec and saying, you know, we're killing these two. You say anything about us doing this, you owed us this money. There's some sort of thing there. And the rest of your family is going to be dead too. Your brothers, your sister, your nieces, nephews, your other son. That could be the only thing that would run through my mind why there really wasn't much more attention being put onto the drug end of things, onto the money end of things. Did he go down thinking that he has to go down? Otherwise, his family is at risk. If something like that were to come up, and it turns out Alec did know that, would that be grounds for a new trial on itself? Or would that be working against him because he never, just like he never admitted to where he was the night of the murders until the last minute, would that reflect negatively or not help him in his case of a retrial?
I mean, that's going to be up to the appellate court. And it all depends on, you know, the specifics of the evidence and how reliable the evidence is and what exactly the evidence is. And the court will decide if that's enough for him to be granted a new trial. And if that was information that wasn't readily available to them at the time, or there was a concern about his life. But again, these are things that the Court of Appeals will have to take into consideration and decide if it's enough for him, for the case to be sent back to the trial court for a new trial. And we'll have to see. I mean, it's an idea. I hadn't thought about that one. It is possible. We knew that there was a lot of hatred towards his son because of the incident that he'd been involved in, and his defense attorneys raised that, but this was never raised by the defense attorneys. And if it was really an argument, it should have been raised. Otherwise, it's ineffectual assistance of counsel.
Yeah. It makes you wonder what else could possibly be going on. It's all hypotheticals, but the way that Alec lies about things, it makes me wonder if he concocts some other story and says, look, here's why I didn't tell you. Here's why I didn't say this, because of my fear of this or that. Is that grounds to go anywhere? Or is that just, well, you should have said it back when you had the chance?
I mean, if he had the information available to him, technically he should have said it. But again, I mean, there's got to be some case law on it. Anything is possible. But if he had the information, and especially if his lawyers had the information, then... And if they made a strategic decision, okay, for whatever reason, not to introduce the evidence, then that's really, I don't see the court taking that and overturning the conviction based on that. If it was information that was not available to them, to the defendant or his team, then it's a different story.
Sure.
Okay? But when it's available to them, that's going to be an uphill battle for an argument like that to be a winner as far as an overturning is concerned.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Larry Retsi, and always a pleasure to have you on. And stick around. We got more with Laura. We're going to talk the Daybells. We're going to talk about that case and what it would be like to defend Lori Vallow Daybell from one of the best defense attorneys in the nation. Laura Retsi, and sticking around to talk that. So press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. You don't miss that part of the conversation. If you'd like a ad-free experience, you can get that. All you got to do is go to Apple Podcasts and press subscribe over there on the premium channel. Get access to all of our shows, all of our channels, ad-free. Yes, we have a bunch of sub-podcast channels for the specific cases. If you just want to hear about the Daybells, you just want to hear about Koberger, we have that for you. Those links also in the episode description, and get all of it ad-free when you sign up through Apple Podcasts. All right? My name is Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.